today, Lord, as we come, gather ourselves in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this day, Lord, that we have, that we could fellowship in this land where we still have freedom. And also to worship thy great name, O Lord, and to hear your word. The day is fast approaching, Father, to the hour that our Lord Jesus Christ must descend from heaven to take his bride away. May each and every one of us, Father, who are called by thy name, who believe that we are part of the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, then, Father, that we should make ourselves ready. Help us then, Lord, to examine our life in your word, in our walk with you, Father, that we are truly worthy of the gospel, obedient to thy word, and submit ourselves, O Father, to thy word. We pray, Father, that we will be one with our Lord Jesus Christ in the word, as he is one with you. For without that oneness, O Lord, without that spiritual intercourse, Father, without that spiritual wedlock as one husband and wife, then truly, Lord, we are not the wife of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, Father, help us, therefore, Lord, to thirst after righteousness, thirst more of the word, and have more intimacy, O Father, with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask that you grant us, Lord, grace and mercy, and just to make us to realize, Father, that without you truly we are nothing. And we see the world the way it is today, Father. We know that there is a working, the evil one working, Father, throughout the world. But most of all, Father, he works in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, to try to destroy it, because he walks in the midst of the church as well, Father, intertwining himself, Father, grow up so close to the true seed, the true vine, that, Lord, many are deceived. Many who are called by your name, who confess, but, Lord, the heart is far from you. We know, Lord, until we are really walking in your word, we can never be really called the bride of Christ. We can never really be really an elect, Lord. So if we are, then help us therefore to be obedient now. We pray that, Lord, you bless us this next hour or so, Father, as we look into thy word. For more of a better understanding, O Father, in the hour that we live in. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Because we are on the subject of the trail of the serpent, I need to establish the serpent seed doctrine. Because if we don't understand the serpent seed doctrine, then we will not be able to follow the trail and understand the trail. In our last two sharing, I laid out the ingredients or the elements that will bring about the fall. Now, people are always asking questions. I mean, we all have questions. And if we ask questions, we have to have an answer from the scripture. If we don't look at the scripture, we'll never get an answer. If we just merely throw it into the air, you know, and say, oh, our church teaches this and our church teaches that, then we'll never have an answer. When we talk about the fall, we must understand that there must need be the fall. You agree with that? There must be a fall, because it was God's plan to begin with, for there to be a fall. Now, many Christians cannot accept that, cannot think of it, cannot come to grip about it. You know, they think that things just happen and God just tried to remedy it as it goes along. No. God only knew what was to be. God knew what would happen. Even before anything was created, He knew the end from the beginning. Right? You all agree with that, don't you? So He knew. So but why did He allow the fall? That is the question. The fall came because He allowed it, because God had a divine purpose for you and for me. You know. And I said this many times, He doesn't want to have a world of people, everything perfect, like Adam and Eve, where there's no sin, there was no serpent, there was nothing. No sin came, no fall. And everybody born into the world is, yes Lord, yes Lord, yes Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, like robots. God has a free will. And therefore that free will, when He created you in His own image and own likeness, you must have the same. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, if He has a free will and He created us without a free will and behave like a mechanical robot, then something is really wrong. There's no joy in God for us to go to Him. God bless, bless you, O Lord. Praise you, O Lord. You know what I mean? And you just do that. What joy is that? Because there's no emotion, no feeling, no intimacy. It's just like a mechanical thing. Do you understand? You understand what I'm saying? You see? So, there must be an element and ingredient that that caused this fall to be. So, when we understand the scripture, we'll see why. First of all, we know that when God created man, we put the word man. Alright, of course in the Hebrew word it's just the word Adam. That's man. And the Bible said that it's male and female. Alright. So we have the male and the female. I mean that's a symbol. That's what Adam was. Male and female. We know that when God created the animals, it's not like that. It's all, when God created the animal, it's always the male and the female, separate. They're not tied together. Isn't that right? But in Adam, it's just male and female in spirit. They're right there. So God had to remove and present to Adam from his side, out from this, to create a woman. Originally they were together, right? The spirit were together, the two were together. Not like the animals. Because only a byproduct could bring about a fall. And this was the one of the ingredients, one of the elements that make it possible. Because he was direct creation from God, alright? And God created Adam, man, created Eve, woman. Then there would be no problem if they were created direct from God. There cannot be a fall. This is one of the elements. The other element is to present the serpent. You understand? A creature that could, relate and converse with Adam and with Eve. You see? And that's when God allows Satan to do whatever he wants. He doesn't take God. He didn't take God by surprise. Some people think that that's what Satan was doing sneaking, you know, like what we call the movie, the what they call that thing, Phantom. They're coming, sneaking into the garden. No, it's not that. When God, as if God wasn't looking, God knew everything. And that's one thing we all must know. All right. The other thing here we see, of course, that in the garden, in the book of Genesis, the Bible presents to us that there is these two trees. I already said already. And when we read the scripture, like I was telling my one of the brother who asked me a question, which we're going to deal with it, he asked me, he said, "Brother Gan, what is the seed of the serpent? Who is the seed of the serpent? Was it Cain? Because the seed of the woman, we know that it was Jesus Christ. So, how could it be Cain? Is it the Antichrist that's to come, the incarnate one?" So that's a good question. But we want to look at how, and I told him and shared with him, the Bible, God used expression, God used word in such a way that it gives up truth yet hides it from those who are just looking at words. That's why I said, don't look, see. You know. So in my profile in the WhatsApp, see, don't look. And people now, that's on the brand overseas, are realizing, so wow, what a difference between looking and seeing. Now we understand what is seeing and not looking. You see. So we have in the garden presented to us all the trees that grow up from the ground can be eaten. All the fruits. Everything that is good for the eye that grow up from the ground could be eaten. No exception. But there is mention of the tree of life and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. We know something here. That is nothing not from the ground. It comes from the midst of the garden. And the thing that is presented here is that the Bible says, if you eat of this tree of knowledge and good and evil, it makes you wise. And this is the tree that God said, don't eat it. The tree of life, you can eat it. But why did God single out two trees if they are really literal trees from the ground? And single out two trees and say that you cannot eat the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Now the Bible did not say that you can eat of the tree of life. But of course by saying that you cannot eat of the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that means you can eat of the tree of life. Isn't that right? That's common sense. So what kind of trees were these? But you know, if you are bound to tradition, you will not want to accept the way that God expresses it. You think that they are really literal trees. And you will know that it makes no sense. But this is a tree, the knowledge of good and evil, that tree make you wise. You say it makes you wise, right? Huh. And where does it come from? Well, we know, as I said last week, we drew it, you know, we drew it in the garden, and then we say in the mid side of the garden, there's only one spot. But of course, you know that in my book that I, on the original sin, I drew a human body. Is that right? Huh? And of course, in the center of the human body, there grows a tree. All right. Of course, there's a tree. Of course. And it makes you wise. And then there's a tree, there's knowledge of good and evil. All right. There's a lot of trees here. And this one, of course, that's an evil tree. And but it makes you wise. By eating this tree, it makes you wise. How could that make, how could a tree make you wise? A fruit can never make you wise. But we know that, of course, the way that God designed fruits are pretty interesting. Huh? You know what a walnut looks like? Yeah, walnut looks like the brain. It's good for your brain. Huh? Kidney beans is good for the kidney or something like that. So the shape of it tells you something. Okay? And so, when we look at the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Now, let's go into the Bible. Now, since that this tree of knowledge and good and evil is both good and evil. Kind of strange, isn't it? Can a thought be good and evil? Can, yes. A thought, just one thought, can be good and evil. But when it is an evil thought, it cannot be good. But a thought by itself can be both good and bad. So this fruit tree, that when you eat of it, to eat is to partake of it. Opens your eyes. Huh? And yet, you had a feeling that when you eat of this, you have done something bad. And you have the knowledge. A knowledge that is corrupt. A knowledge supposed to be good and becomes corrupt. You see. When God created man and woman, was for the purpose of propagation. There was God's purpose. But today, sex has become something like eating chocolate. Huh? Yes. Or drinking a cup of tea or coffee. Like the woman, adulterous woman, as in the book of Psalm, a proverb says, whatever she has done, she has eaten it, and it's just why I'm saying, I've done no evil. Adulterous woman. There's no conviction of sin. Okay, now, so we realize in our understanding of the Bible that Eve was taken from Adam and presented to Adam, but before Adam and Eve could come together, here came the serpent, seduced Eve, and of course, they committed fornication. And of course, we know that Eve went over to Adam and persuaded him to have it. You know, we understand that when Adam took up the sin came. But here the question comes from those who are traditional. Is that how could Adam commit adultery? It belongs to Adam. She was his wife. So how come Adam could not take it back? How come you call it adultery? But the simple fact is this, a lot of people don't seem to understand. That if the Word of God already makes it clear that Adam and Eve were supposed to be husband and wife. But they were not yet husband and wife. Just because a woman is given to a man to be the wife, it doesn't mean that she is automatically his wife. And this is why we look at the fact of Mary and Joseph. Remember? Mary was espoused or betrothed to Joseph. By the standard of the traditions or the culture of the people, yes. She is the wife of this man. But there is no consummation yet. Do you understand? But so, what happened then? When Mary was found with child, Joseph wanted to put her away because he thought, oh, Mary, why did you go to another man? So if you go to another man and you join a wedlock with him, you are the man's wife. So of course, Joseph doesn't want to shame her. And that's why he wanted to privately put her away. And Joseph was a gentleman. You see. You understand what I'm saying? So now, when Eve had already committed the sexual act with the serpent, well, Adam couldn't do a thing. After all, now the wife belongs to the serpent. She is the serpent's mistress now. Or why? Because the serpent had a Mrs. Serpent, right? You understand? So Eve no longer belonged to him. But Adam had to act out the attribute that is within him. And this is something we need to understand, which I don't think the denomination really understand. You understand that, right? Do you know that we are so blessed because we have accepted the message that took us back to the Bible and look at the Bible instead of the tradition? See? Brother Andrew Peary sent me a link about an article written by someone about our daily devotion. You know, daily devotion. And you know all this daily bread thing, the little booklet, daily bread? A lot of people are using that. And this man was making his comment. And that's why I already said I don't believe in that. I don't even look at this daily bread book. Because you know, you open up daily bread, a little emotion, they give you a verse and they talk a little bit, right? And a little anecdote thing then to tell you something to kind of make you feel good. But you know, when you do this every day, instead of studying the word every day, you have nothing. You learn nothing. That's why I don't like people sending me images on WhatsApp. Good morning, God bless you, have a good day, and it's like a verse of the Bible. What do you want to send me that for? This is only for little children. People like us should be matured already. Every day you receive all these things, turn a page of the Bible and read a verse. Think that's enough? You do that every day, just one verse or two verses, and read a little passage of something. Oh, you know what happened to this man, God bless him, and this and that. And so believe in the Lord, and blah, blah, blah. Is that enough? You will never grow. Because why? You only are being given milk, 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 milk. That's your denomination have. That's what the Bible says, you study the Scripture. You study the Scripture. How important that is. Listen, not reading the Bible. Study. The Bible says study the Word. Not read the Word. When you read, you only are looking at words. But when you study, you are diving yourself into seeing what's inside there. That's a whole lot of different. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Huh? So now, when Adam had to do something to express that attribute, took her back. So in taking her back, he must identify with the same. Alright? A sexual. But now that this woman, Eve, belongs to the serpent, when he took her back, identified with the same thing. You see? Because why? She no longer was his. That's an act. So what is the fruit that Adam ate? What was the fruit that he had? He committed fornication, right? She could not wait. She was seduced. She belonged to Adam. She could not wait. And she committed fornication, an act that is not right. Adam did the same thing, an act that is not right. Can you understand that? Took on the same fruit. The Bible said, took up the same fruit. You ask the anti-message believer to explain that to me. You didn't know it? They don't. That's why I'm trying to lay down the scripture and let everybody see the way the heavenly can fit in. Because the Bible says, took up the same. Is that not right? So what is the same? An act that is wrong. Eve should not have taken that because she came from Adam's side. But she went and fornicated with the serpent. And Adam knew that she belongs to the serpent now. Even though as much as she came upon his side. But he had to save her. And to take her back, commit what? An adultery. Because she belongs to the serpent. And act like this wrong. To take her back. I hope that's clear to you. You see. So when Adam did that, well, people said, how could Adam be called an adultery? Adulterer. What? The egg is an adultery. That's what I'm just trying to say. It's a word that describes something. Then what do you want to call it? Yes, they say, if I said it's adultery, you don't like to hear the word, then what do you want to call it? Give me the word. What would we call? What do you think is the word you use? You know? Some people have very strange things, you know. And some of Brahman talked about some of the early days when Brahman talked about this serpent seed thing, about this sexual thing, this thing that happened. People thought he said it's very vile. That's so much so, that's why I believe the Brahman do not even want to touch upon the sin of him. Brahman knew about the sin of him. And he told Brother Jackson it was incest. But why did he not preach it? Oh, he was in the deism, you know, the Puritan deism back in the 50s, 60s. Nobody wanted to hear that sort of thing. That's why there's someone seen. Back in the days of Queen Victoria in England, in the 1800s, I think, there was already the church, some of the Christian group, small group, believed in that. The Swansea. There was sex. But why is it not promulgated? Because in those days, people are filtered, they don't want to talk about these things. Right? You know what I'm saying? Yes. And I think it is a very strange kind of culture back then. But I don't believe in the days of the church, I mean, the early church in the days of the Bibles. And I think they frankly speak about sex very freely. And spoke the truth about it. Not the way the Americans are doing today. Out in Hollywood, out in, well, on all those red light districts and all those things that are free going on, right? Exposing themselves and all these things. And yet, don't talk about sex. What's going on? Kind of strange, huh? So, now today, I think a lot of people still find it very hard to talk about sex. If Adam is going to ask me, my little boy Adam, is going to ask me, Grandpa, where do I come from? I'll have to explain to him where he came from. I'm not going to tell him that a bird brought you here to your mommy. You know? It's not going to be. Not like the day we all remember, we were told that my mom used to say, I don't want to ask, I don't know who which one, was pick up from inside the dustbin. Somebody left him in that dustbin and pick it up. I mean, I heard some of you know this kind of story, right? Yeah. You see. And that's kind of foolishness. But culture like that, they keep people in the dark. So, now we understand what it is. But the thing is this. Here we have in the what you call the Word of God, what did he say in chapter 3 and verse 22? And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. To know good and evil. Very interesting. Now man has become like us to know good and evil. I said, my friend always argue with me. He said, how can God do that? How can God have evil? You know, the way that sometimes people ask questions, don't know what's going on in their mind. Man has become like us, God said, to know both good and evil. Now, you know, that Adam and Eve, of course, they know what is right, what is wrong. What is good, what is bad. They know what is good and what is evil. But they do not know the kind of evil the evil is. You know, evil, what is evil? Now, we know what evil is. Okay, yeah. You know, you don't go to a prostitute. You know, you don't sleep with a prostitute that is wrong and all these things. We know that is evil, huh? But you do not know how evil is evil. Do you know what I'm saying? It's just like when you think of evil thoughts to whether you want to kill somebody, huh? And then the frustration already went up there, hammer, you beat up the guy until he got all blue black and went up in the hospital, and then you're arrested, and then you sit in a cell for a few days or a few weeks. Maybe you think about, wow, how evil I have become. You know that, don't you? You see, the state is that there is a degree of knowledge, but there is a degree of an experience. We all have knowledge of many things, but we never have experience. How many of you like to go on a roller coaster? How many of you like to go up on a roller coaster? want to go corkscrew. You know, we find that, yeah, we know that, oh, this thing made me sick and all these things. You know. I remember the time when I was with Zahar, Zoe, when they were kids. They were preteen, you know, like Anna, you know, 19 years old. We went, my wife, the family went to, what is that, Queens? Brisbane. Then we went to this entertainment, you know. Oh, there were a lot of this, roller coaster ride. We enjoyed it. So we went there and I went to this corkscrew. Very big. Wow. It's a nice. And then the children said, come, let's go. The children enjoy it. Then Astrid said, no, I'm not going to like it, you know. Then after we went after 2-3 times, she said, okay, let me try. After she tried one time, she wants to go in again. You know, because when you know how it feels by looking at that kind of turning upside down and going this way and that way, you know that you feel sick. But when you feel in the experience, initially you feel sick, you know, you want to throw up. But after you can come down, whee, that's nice. Let me go back again. You know what I mean? You see, the thrill of this, you have a knowledge, but you do not have an experience on it. So that's one thing when God said, Ben has become like one of us now. Knowing what truly is evil and what truly is good. Now experience it. Now you know what? That's why when sin came, every one of us know now. We all sin. We know how bad we can be. But some people, of course, they say, well, I'm good, man. But what is good? Good in what? Good in your looking at things? Huh? Have you ever taken an evil thought? It's just as bad. Jesus said that, isn't it? You see, you don't have to go and kill that person. You just hate the person. Take evil thoughts of that person. You already kill him. You know. So when, this is the thing about it. So when God allowed this fall, His plan was to bring a people who have experienced everything and come into the world and to know that that is salvation, there is grace, there is this goodness of God that you can bring back to yourself. You know. So, I'm glad that when I came to the Lord, you know, I found myself ready. I realized how filthy I was before I had the Lord. You know, how evil, even though I'm not that bad a person, you know what I mean? I never kill people, but I realize I have lied, I've cheated, I've stolen things from people. Right? And just to think of those things that I've done, make me feel that, wow, I really feel so dirty. Because when you compare to come to the light of God and come to His purity and the holiness, you can see yourself. You understand what I'm saying, huh? Okay. So, God has His sovereign will. He must express what is within Him to carry out His plan. Now, here come we have a question now. Go back to Genesis chapter 3 here. I want to just lay that down. The question is asked, who or what is the serpent seed? Huh? The question was asked, who was the serpent seed? Was it Cain? Was it the Antichrist? The one that has to be incarnate? After all, the seed of the woman, we know who he was. It was the Messiah to come. Right? So now, the serpent seed. See, what did the Bible say in the book of Genesis now? Look at it. In the judgment of the serpent. Genesis chapter 3 verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and he shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise is healed.
Clearly now, I want enmity between thy seed and her seed. So when you talk about seed, when you ask the question, who is the seed of the serpent? And we say, that's Cain. Okay, so who is the seed of the woman? I said, that's Jesus Christ. Now, what? How can there be enmity between these two now if Jesus got there so far? So here, it was not referring to Cain, neither was it referring to Abel. We know that there is the seed. We know the seed of the serpent, but we know that the fornication of the serpent with Eve brought forth Cain. We don't know that. That's literal, we don't know that. And with Adam and Eve, it brought forth Abel. We know that. But this verse in itself is not talking about Cain and Abel. What is it talking about? It's talking about seed. I'll put enmity between thy seed and her seed. Seed. Not Cain, not Abel. It's about the seed. And that's why I want to bring this up for you to understand, because we look at the trail, we are looking at that seed. Huh? So what is the seed? Jesus said, a soul went forth to sow. What did he sow? He sowed good seed. Right? Yes. So what is the good seed? It's the word of God. Am I right? You are not the seed. I'm not the seed. It's the word of God that is the seed. So the seed was sown. It's on what ground it falls on. You understand what I'm saying? So when we talk about the seed, we are talking about the word. Huh? So now, so someone came to eat. What is he sowing to her? What is that? Is he sowing to her? Up here. What was he sowing to her? Seed. He was sowing seed in the battlefield, in the field of the mind. I think that's one of the real sermon Abraham spoke on. And what was the title? The greatest that I ever fought. It's in the mind. The greatest ever fought is in the mind. Huh? Your brain. You know? That's the brain. Up here. And seed is being sown in here. When the seed goes into the brain, then it goes into what we call the heart. What's in the heart, then what happened? What did Jesus say about the word of God? What is it about the word that comes out from our mouth? It comes from where? It comes from the heart. You see? Satan wants to get you in your head. When you get in your head, when you start confessing, it comes from the heart. We know as Bob Graham says, Satan goes for your head, where Christ goes for your heart, right? But the moment that Satan goes for your head and you entertain it, you identify with it, and you confess it, it comes from your heart because it takes roots in your heart. See? So that the seed, when we talk about the seed, I'll put anything between thy seed and yours and her seed. So we have the serpent's seed, which is the word, his word. We have the godly seed, of course, we've got a woman's seed here. The seed of the woman. Of course, which came from Adam. Or which came from God to Adam to her. But she broke it and she went to the other side. Eve should have waited. But when that's not what we talk about, seduction, the deception. Eli cannot be deceived, we know that. That's why Eve can be deceived, because she was a byproduct. Right? So in the end time message, Eli cannot be deceived, Eli cannot be deceived. Yeah, we see a lot of end time message people will deceive. Because why? They are not in the Word. And when you are not in the Word, that's way, that's how easily you are deceived. Do you understand what I'm saying now? So now when we talk about the seed, the serpent's seed, or the godly seed, or the woman's seed, the seed of the woman, rather not the godly, the seed of the woman. So the seed of the woman was a prophetic utterance that there will come a seed from God to a woman, not through a man, but to a woman. Kind of strange, huh? We know the woman by itself cannot produce. What did the Bible say in the book of, I think it's Proverbs. Man who is born of a woman have many trouble. Right? Is that what it said? I don't remember, something like that. I can't remember the precise. Man who is born of a woman have many trouble. Right? God born a woman, right? And I ask a question one time, people, you all get puzzled. And I always like to cause people to scratch their head. Have you heard of a man being born of a man? No. How many of you here are born of a man? None of you. I'm born of a man. And that man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I tricked you again. You forgot. Man is born who are born of a woman have many trouble because we all came into the world through the woman. But once you are reborn, born again by the man Christ Jesus, behold the man, I find no fault in him. And he is the seed of God. You're born of that man. We came into the world speaking lies because of what happened in the garden, what Eve did. That's why the world came, everyone came into this world was because what the woman did in the garden. But when we are born again, we are born again what Jesus did in the garden of Gethsemane and Mount Calvary. The man who died upon the tree. Eve took of this. Well, a wrong tree anyway. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And now we are eating of the tree from the Calvary. Right? Where the blood of life flow from his side. He's the tree of life. You see how God express himself in these kind of words. You know, I like the way that sometimes the Bible is written in a way that it kind of stimulate my mind to look at it and see what God is trying to express. And the way he expresses it in such a flowery way, poetical way, prophetic way, or probabilical way, something or whatever, you know, it's pretty strange. But when you see the picture, you understand the expression is beautiful. It makes a whole lot of sense. Because you can see a better picture instead of just one word, one sentence. Huh? You see? Right? Love came into the world because of death. They came into the garden because of someone, the woman who eat of that tree. But life is given back to those who will eat of that tree when a man hang upon it. On Calvary. See. Alright. So, now you know what a seed is now. The seed is the Word. Serpent has sown his seed already. And from that time, we can see how that this serpent will be able to use that seed that will move. So close. And Abraham said, remember the true vine. And the false vine grows side by side. You know that, don't you? The true vine and the false vine grow so close together. Side by side. Because the seed was sown in the same garden of a woman. And came to this world. One garden, and that's the woman.
That's the word. Okay? Two seeds were planted there. In her womb. From these seeds came forth Cain and Abel.
They were emitting already.
So from them these two lines will move all the way down to our generation.
That trail moved together, close together.
Right? But it comes to a place somewhere that this line will have to be separated. Okay?
Two lines that go together have to be separated. You understand? At the Calvary, that's where the line had to separate.
But why God, before Calvary, God already promised and given the word, the law, and all this to get the people, to make them to move to the line or the seed line that is God. But every time, because of the influence of that other seed, the serpent seed, that's why we have this problem in the world. Alright, let us go now to chapter 4. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock, and not the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he did not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, interestingly, that God should record the Bible in such a way, just a few verses of scriptures, and in it hides some important truth. Right. I will honestly say that every one of us sitting here today, if you have been a Christian and not knowing the end time message, all you know about here is just that Cain and Abel, they were brothers. They were twins. They were all sons of, both of them were sons of Adam, right? And we don't think much about it. And one son is more wicked, is wicked and killed the other. Was wicked and killed the other. That's all we ever think about. You see. And even to this day, the denomination just believe it. When you try to explain to them that Cain was not the son of Adam, they would not believe it. And you try to explain to them why he killed, they will tell you, well, sometimes even in the family, brothers will kill another brothers and fight over, some properties. They will think it that way. But here, interestingly, we already know that the way that God presented it. The Bible tells us here very clearly in this verse, Adam knew his wife. Right? The word knew means have knowledge. Only one time. And brought forth two words. Okay? Some people say, oh, they are twins. Okay? If they are twins, good. Whether identical twin or not identical twin, good. But question now, people, we should ask, why didn't the king kill him? Oh, he killed him because he was wicked. But why was he wicked? Well, the Bible tells us that Adam was the son of God. The Bible said he was created in God's image. Right. Then why did the attribute of killing, this murderous spirit, where did it come from? And Jesus gives us the answer in the New Testament. That's why we need to understand that you understand the Bible, we have to look the whole places in the Bible to find an answer. And Jesus already told us, told the Pharisees, you are of the Father, the wicked one. You are of your Father, the wicked one. Who is the wicked one? It can't be Adam. And Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning. Couldn't be Adam. Couldn't be God. Why people don't want to reason? The Bible is there for you to reason. The Bible is there for telling the whole truth. So can kill Abel. Okay, we know. But the question right now is when we look at this about the offering. Well, even this description, very interesting that the Bible describes all this. About Cain being the tiller of the ground. And Abel was a keeper of sheep. Why did the Bible tell us this way? Because it tells us the kind of attributes behind the Son. Huh? Like Father, like Son. If Cain was a tiller of ground, we know that that came from the serpent because serpent was a servant of Adam. Oh, why did the Bible say that the serpent was a servant of Adam? You know, people ask this kind of question. Even just like I was discussing with a brother on the just a few days ago. You know, he was trying to explain the message to his friend. And I'd say that, oh, you know, the Bible talks about Malachi 4, 5 and 6 and Revelation 10 and Luke 17, things like that. And so he explained that this was God's messenger, William Branham. Oh! Show me where William Branham's name is in the Bible. Kind of strange, huh? People are talking like this. Show me where is William Branham's name in the Bible. That's what I have discussed with some people like that, to talk like that. And then I ask him, do you believe that John the Baptist was son of God? And he was a messenger of God. Yes! Show me where John the Baptist was in the Bible. Oh, is there in the New Testament? Yeah, I know it's in the New Testament. But before the New Testament was written, where was his name? Written in the Old Testament. He came out and he preached. And you are living in those days, there was no New Testament. What New Testament are you talking about? This is a record of history. Now you look back. But in those days you don't have. So when John the Baptist says, I'm the one crying in the wilderness, I'm preparing the way of the Lord. So you go up to John the Baptist, what's your name written in the Old Testament? Or maybe you shall ask. And Jesus came and says, I'm he. Oh, what was your name? Yeshua, you know, written in the Old Testament. Right? I mean, people ask very foolish questions. It's because they don't have the mind to seek the Word of God and to study the Word of God. And if you don't, the Word of God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. People have knowledge of iPhone. Right? Yeah, you snuck your head, huh? Your children always. I remember the time of Nintendo came. Almost a big thing, huh? Everybody. You know, the two fingers is always on there. Now, no more Nintendo. Now it's not just the iPhone, I mean the mobile phone, but it's the tablet where you can see a bigger picture. And I see a woman just. You know, this mindless game. Joining lines to this dog, three in a row, four in a row, trying to get. I mean, this mindless game. You know, what knowledge do they have? They know, they have the knowledge how to operate the apps, all the various mobile apps. Right? Yes. They know how to play Warcraft and Kai Conga, whatever. All those, huh? All those, you know, they know how to operate those things. You know why I don't want to play that? Because my finger can't. I'm glad. Because there's so many buttons to press. You know, you need to be fast. I'm hopeless on that. So only thing I play, Sudoku. At least my brain is trying to figure out how to deal with it. You know? But you see, people have no, they don't want the knowledge of God. They want the knowledge of this world. But it's good. You know, like here, our young brother here, you know, some of you, I don't know what you're studying. At least you're okay, you want to learn, solve some problem. Singapore have a lot of good scientists. You know, inventors. They really study, try to figure out. Now we have our own Singapore little NASA group, you know, try to launch more satellite to space, smaller one version. What is they are building it all? They are brilliant. You see, good for them. All wearing a square hat. You know what? And we all should not be wearing a square hat. What we want is a round hat. The one with that flat round thing around the top. The halo, maybe. You know, at least we know we have the knowledge of God. Our people perish for lack of knowledge. That's why we need to know what God is really saying in the Bible so we can have a better understanding. So the Bible tells us Cain was a tiller of the ground. And I know that the serpent was a servant because there are a few things that we need to know. Adam was the son of God. He was to have dominion over the earth. Common sense tells us, right? The Bible already told us that. So dominion means that you are in control. You have the animal here. You know, Adam don't need to have a lawnmower, you know. All you have is the goats. Come, eat up these grasses. Hey, you don't have to go and cut down the grass. You know, no, you don't have to. Here's all these animals. Serpent, you know, take care, trim the, dress up the garden nicely, you know. Giraffe, the top of the tree is too bushy. Eat it up. And giraffe will eat it up. I mean, all these animals were, you know, under his control. But the problem right now is that the Bible still tells us one more fact. That when the problem arises for Adam is when after the serpent was cursed to become a snake. Now the Bible, God told him, now he's to the ground. You know what I mean? Now you are to the ground. You see, no one's going to help you anymore. Not only the ground, you have to kill. But thorn and thistle will come forth. And you're now going to suffer. Now that tells us one thing. You see. But because Abel was a keeper of sheep, tell us, of course, like his father, Adam, keep animal, dominion. So there was all his sheep. He looked after with all that. So this will give us kind of attributes, but people don't know. So the Bible now is telling us, look at these two sons. Two different seeds. Right? One the serpent seed. Is it one of which came from the woman? Which belongs to Adam, of course. That's what he meant. The seed that belongs to Mary belongs to God. Right? You see. And because it was Mary, and Mary was become the wife of Joseph, so the Bible says supposedly then that Jesus Christ was his son. Obviously. You see. Only that Joseph was not the father of Jesus. You see. So now you're watching that two line. Because the trail now is beginning to show itself. Now let's go on. When the offering was offered, yes, God did not respect Cain. So he was rough. His countenance was fallen. So now God, you know, God is always merciful, even to a serpent seed. Right? After all, still, even though the Cain was serpent seed, but part of Cain came from Eve. And right, and Eve came from Adam. You understand? That's where the soul is. That's why he was able to worship. Because the serpent do not worship. Animals do not worship. Huh? Some people say, yeah, animals worship God. Like the wolf. Woo! When the moon is full. Oh, the cockerel, you know, when the sun rises up, they are so happy. Co-co-co! You know, they always give all kinds of reasons. You know? The bird chipping, they say the bird is worshipping the Lord. Huh? No, God created them for his own amusement. I mean, I have a God that is very humorous. You ever watch? You know, I've been to the SeaWorld Aquarium. Every time a brother came to Singapore, I took them there. And I've been there so many times, I get what we call Sienna. You know, you get tired of it, because you know the aquarium so well, you know where you're going, what you're going to see the next time you go. Huh? So I go there, I always enjoy, of course, in the sense I brought the brothers there and he lay watch, I just sit, stand there and watch, you know.
You see all the jellyfish that, oh, marvelous. You look at the Nautilus, a very strange creature. Nautilus is one of the fantastic creature when it first came out many, many years ago. I think maybe 30, 40 years ago when it was mentioned in the National Geographic or some other magazine. We have never seen a Nautilus, a creature. How many know what Nautilus is? It looked like a... I don't know how you describe it. It looked like a snail, and yet not a snail. It's like a submarine, you know. And you expect it to be the other way, you float this other way. Kind of strange, and it had a lot of feelers. And it's very unique in this Nautilus. When they cut open, dissected it, look at it the way that it was designed. It has a... What is the name of that? You know, the... I can't remember this scientific name. If you look at your finger, that this finger here, alright, the next finger, this finger is two-thirds the size of this finger, of this bone here. And this one is two-thirds the size of this one here. You know, because God has created in such a way that it makes sense to, you know. So the same thing with the shell. You see. So there's a lot of very strange thing that is there that I see it, can enjoy it, and sometimes I laugh at the creature that God made is, you know, you don't know what on earth is that. I mean, just amazing. So, the same thing here when you look into the Bible. The thing that Cain offered to God was not acceptable because, after all, God requires blood. And I said this, they were raised up under Adam and Eve, so they need to know, they already knew what it was to be. But, as usual, the serpent sin always have their own mind. Because already the seed of the serpent, or that seed which that word that was sown to Eve was from the Satan through to the serpent to Eve. And so that seed is always there. That mind is always wanting to do a little bit contradictory, a little bit different. Now, in the religious world today, you can see on the web, on the internet, the YouTube, the different websites. You see how the people, all these preachers, try to outdo each other. Huh? And many of them try to, well, do God a service without it being God's will. And they would talk over the word of God to try to pacify the people, try to make the people feel good. And that's what Satan does. That's how he seduced Eve to make her feel good in the flesh. We are all, you know, feeding on these five senses in this world. So people like to see miracles, healing, and so on. And many other people do not realize they get trapped. There was this man. Well, the brother told me about what I heard about this man called David. Owuor. O-W-U-O-R. So I said, who's that? He said he's an African preacher from Kenya. You know. He said, go and look at this. Very simple man, humble man, like Brother Prano. And he called fire down from heaven in front of public thousands of people and fired him down from heaven. Oh. So I went and have a look at him. And I looked at many of his other videos. Yes, he done a lot of healing, miracles. But I was fascinated by the one that he called fire down from heaven. So the video was on taking people, preaching. Then there was all some kind of things was on the platform. He said, I'm going to call fire down like Elijah did. Because he believed that he's Elijah, fulfilling Malachi 4. You know? So he called out fire from heaven. And the people are everywhere, you know. So the video, next thing I see was stripping photograph of fire coming down from heaven. And that was posted on a website. And I said, very strange. If fire would come down from heaven on that day, how come the video camera recorder couldn't record it? If it literally come up from heaven, how come they could not record it on that digital video camera? How come they could only be recorded on the iPhone? On a mobile? Click, 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 but not a video. And now look at those lights. Very sensational. Is it true? The fire came down from heaven? The way that it was advertised? Because if you say fire came down from heaven, you've got to look at the literal fire coming down. Not picture of some kind of light here and there to look like fire. You know? Yes. So there are all kinds of things that is in the world today that get so close. You know? In the days of Brother Branham, you have black and white photography. You hardly even see any color camera in those days, actually. And people are just trying to disprove that this light upon his head was not the real thing. Even the light on the shoulder. You know. But have you seen a photograph where Brother Branham was buried? In the ground. Covered up. But you know, when a photograph was taken, the coffin, exact coffin, floated on the top of the ground. They couldn't believe it. You know? Where did it come from? What about the time when he was preaching about the flowers? You remember? There were two photographs they showed. The second flower, the second one where he was showing a lot of fire, and then the leader of the valley or whatever they call the plant blooms up very high. How are they going to do away with it? But today there are a lot of impersonation. A lot of impersonation. That's the reason why when God moved, the devil will come following it. Whatever God performed, the devil would do it and try to make it bigger. There was only one Elijah, but how many Baals prophets were around? A few hundred all the time. 300 and whatever number they have. Right? Yes. And the prophet wasn't afraid. And why didn't you call your God is sleeping? Make more noise. And that's what we have today. In different religions, all they have is make a lot of noise so that the God in heaven will hear. Because he's deaf. Your gods are deaf. Even in charismaticism, they try to roar, yell, yell, yell. I mean, it's one thing to shout and sing, yes. But sometimes they literally try to think that they can bring God down by shouting. That's true. There are times when you need to shout at the devil, but there are times when you don't have to. You know how Brother Branham did with the devil? The man who tried to, you know, a demon possessed man who tried to beat him up. Huh? He just spoke very calmly. And the man dealt with him. There was a brother one time who was saying that they were disturbing in the church. One man was standing up and disturbed us, and he just shouted at the devil, "Sit down!" And the guy sat down. Sometimes maybe you need to shout at the devil. But you know, I always have to do that. And then sometimes when people are praying, sometimes they shout at the devil as if the devil cannot hear. The devil can hear. So there's a lot of impersonation to go this way and that way. Whatever God did, the sinner will follow. Now let us look at this one verse now. In last verse 7. God said to him, "If thou do well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall he desire, shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Now, here is this verse that through everybody, practically everybody that I know of, are Christian. I've never heard one denominational preacher explain this. In the end of message, no one knows what this is. How do I explain this? I don't even know where Barabram ever explained this. But most of them commonly was trying to explain that Amos. Boru, however you hard pronounce that name, it's very hard to pronounce. A Nigerian preacher who believed that he is the lead apostle. And he was just only saying what Brother Jackson said. And he made no sense here. He said, "If you do not do well,
If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin still lies at the door of your heart. That's how they explain. If you didn't do right, sin still lies at the door of your heart. And unto you shall be his desire. That's the thing changed. Unto you shall be Abel's desire. You rule over Abel. Because by right, it is said, as they interpreted, the elder, the firstborn, always had the inheritance. Yes, the elders, the firstborn had the inheritance. So what has that to do with ruling over the younger one? Oh, the younger one is that when the younger one subject to you because you have the inheritance, you give to him whenever you feel like it, you rule over him, have control. That's what it means. I mean, they make no sense. Because from the first part, you talk about sin, life, and all, suddenly you change it to the younger son. What has got to do with it? You know, this is one verse that I explain it. It takes me back to Abraham. I mean, not back, but forward to Abraham. When Abraham was saying, you know, wants to sacrifice his son, Abraham said, why is the sin offering? Where is the lamb? Abraham said, the Lord will provide. He didn't bring anything, of course, and that's why Isaac was quite a puzzle. What is it? And he was not a little boy. He was a young man, at least about 20 years old. Dad, where is the lamb? And Abraham said to him, you are it, literally. And he willingly lied down, because he was in obedience to his father. He was one with the father. He knew his father's faith. So he was willing to lie down and have his throat cut, shed blood. What did God, that's what a lot of people don't seem to understand. What did God allow? What did God ask Abraham to do this kind of sacrifice? You know, to sacrifice his son, burn him up for me. But later on, this thing was not done. But what it was done at that time, anybody knows? Just study the Bible, study history, study the culture, go back and find out that in those days, all the nation wrote about Israel. I mean, not Israel, wrote about Abraham's time. Okay? Until the day of Israel, the nation exists. All the people around there, they were all idol worshippers. The God chose him out. So, the people were practicing sacrifices like that. You see. So the only thing that Abraham knew was there was such thing was a pleading to whatever gods. So when Yahweh called him, okay, so this is a God that can speak. Not that the dumb one that everybody is praying to. Big one, fat one, thin one, tall one, whatever shapes or whatever phase is it. They don't talk back, but this one, hey, where did it come from? You know, and God spoke to him and he obeyed. And he worshipped his God because God was real to him. Spoke out unto him, you know, but not to his wife. so sorry, sister. You know, because Abraham, God was living with this man. He wanted to bring a seed. He wanted to make sure this man is full obedient. And so when God called Abraham and told Abraham to sacrifice it, it's a pagan ritual thing. Right? Because Abraham knew nothing. So now, okay, this is a sacrifice. Maybe that's what all the God's practices. Okay. But later on when God came, then he said, circumcise. You are new. I'll make you a new nation, new people. So you will be different from the others. I'll give you the law. I'll give you everything new. You get the point now. You see. So that's why we have this strange thing about this sacrifice. But here that is why he says, if you have done well, I will accept it. If you do not do well, then sin offering is there for you. It's not about sin is still before you in your heart. No. God is dealing with Cain. You didn't do right, Abel. I mean, Cain. If you have done right, I will accept it. But because you didn't do right, I cannot accept it. But what? Here is a sin offering. The word sin lies at the door. You know when the lies of the dog is right before you.
Huh?
It's right before you, means sin offering is right at the door. That's why Abraham, before he wanted to kill, before he was about to branch that knife and cut the throat of his son, God stopped him. And I said, I know now you love me, you obey me. Then he turned and looked, there was a ram caught in the thicket, right before him. It was not far away, it was right there in the bush. And God said, his desire is unto you. That means that whatever you want to do with it, he will not struggle. Alright? You rule over him, take control of him. Do you understand what it is? And Jesus Christ was that the Lamb. God took him, God deal with him, because God has power over the Son. He's the Father, he's the Son. And his desire will be to you, Father, do whatever you will. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Yes? You see? This is what the meaning of it. But to this day, the little apostle just keep fighting me. If I don't have an answer to the Bible, I will preach it. I'll just zip on my mouth. I cannot. The moment I open my mouth means I know what I'm saying. Otherwise, I make myself a fool. Make myself a false prophet, a false teacher, teaching something I do not know. If I can lay out the scripture, make sense, then it makes sense. But you tell me that this verse here is talking about, well, the sin is still at your door of your heart. Huh? And it's not that you talk about you have control over your youngest brother. Well, what sin is that? You know? We need to know God is dealing within the context, the king. It's not about ruling this, ruling that. It's talking about Cain. I'm providing you a sin offering. It's you for you to take it. You have control over it. Take an offering. It's your choice. And when God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, and the gospel is presented before each and every man on this earth and woman on this earth, it's up to each and every one of us to accept him or reject him. But sad to say, can't reject what God offered. And that's why we call pride. That's why we call pride. Because why? He thinks that his offering should be good enough. Huh? You should have accepted. It is good enough. And you offer me something. So you are saying that my offering is not good enough? Okay. I won't want it. Walk away. That's what people do in this world today. They think that they can buy their way to heaven. They think that their work is righteous. What did Jesus say? Filthy rags. The Bible says filthy rags. No matter how good we are, in God's eye, just bad. We have a lot of very religious and wonderful men and women in the world. They do charitable work, huh? They even risk their life, huh, for their fellow men and women that they know do not know. They're nice people. But that's not good enough. In the eyes of God, that's not good enough. You understand what I'm saying? You look at Caiaphas, look at the Pharisees and Sadducees, not good enough. At least a humble man like Nicodemus came to Jesus Christ. Huh? And he was afraid to go to see Jesus Christ by day, because in case he was spotted by the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You know? So at least he picked up the courage at least to go and see him at night to ask him. Be humble. Though he was a Pharisee, like Paul said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees, I know everything, you know. You know the kind of attitude? Going to ask Jesus Christ. How do I get into the kingdom? Simple. Just ask him a question, Jesus Christ will give you the answer. And Jesus Christ will, when you ask a question in the Bible, when you ask a Bible question, remember, don't expect a straightforward answer. There will always be a Pali. Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. What? You ought to go back to my mother's womb. Oh, you are the man who's supposed to be a teacher, who's supposed to know better, and yet you do not know. And you know what I mean? Yeah, that needs a little rebuke. You see? And that's all of religious people are like that. They need a little rebuke. So you know everything. When I said a simple thing, you shall be born again, and you are thinking about going back to your mother's womb and pop up again. You know that makes no sense, right? You know what I mean? That so that you do not have the understanding, no spiritual understanding. You're looking at things in a carnal way. See? So may the Lord bless every one of us. Bless His Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving us an understanding about the seed of the serpent. We know, Lord, Satan's main purpose, Lord, is to destroy your word and your work. From the very beginning, he was a murderer. Lucifer was just so beautiful. Sum of all wisdom and beauty, and yet, well, that's what got him puffed up. To want to be like you, wanted to be worshipped, be placed on a pedestal, one's recognition. And so, Father, we know from that time when he fell, he became your adversary. His heart was so hardened. He's wanting to do, Lord, is to seek to destroy your word and your work. And we know, Father, when a creature of yours refused to repent and harden the heart, he will just go further and further away from you. Same thing goes for Cain, Lord. He rejected your offering, spurned and walked away, and later on he finds himself into deeper problem because of the pride he killed Abel. And that's the things of the world today, Father. But here we are, a people who are called by your name. May we have more of your grace and be thankful, Lord, and declare our blessing that you have called us. Open our eyes to see all these things, to make us to see we are sons and daughters of God. And if we be sons and daughters of God, then Lord, help us to be in the love with your word and with you. And count a blessing every day. Rejoicing in thy word and thy spirit. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the word, Lord. We ask for your grace that you bless every one of us today as well. Keep the word in our heart and walk with you and not sin against you. Bless all we hear this message to, Lord, online. That you grant them the grace also to be blessed and to be strengthened. In Christ's wonderful name, Lord, I pray. Amen.